podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
Jesus showed us that is what it should look like. Amen. We should never take that for granted. Rather, recognize and take every opportunity possible to hug somebody. You know, I've used the method of 20. So if you haven't hugged 20 people today, if you're at 10, you got 10 more to hug. So make sure you do that by the end of service. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you all this morning. How are you all doing today?
Good.
Praise God. I send greetings from an island somewhere in the Caribbean from my pastor and Pastor Gilbert and Pastor Mona. They're enjoying their time off. I'm sure right about now he has his feet in the sand. We'll see about exchanging that arrangement so I can put my feet in the sand. That'll be pretty nice. But they send their love. They love you guys. They miss you all. But as you know, everyone needs a break, right? So thank you, church, for blessing our pastor and our pastors with some time off because they need it. Amen? Before I begin this message, I want to also encourage you, say next Sunday. Say one more time, next Sunday. All right, next Sunday, I want to make sure no one misses this. We're going to have Evangelist Frank Seamster, who's going to be coming back. Come on, somebody say yeah?
Yeah.
Come on, all right. And as you know, Pastor Frank is an amazing man of God who preaches the word powerfully. He's going to be here next week, and he's going to be speaking not two services, but three. Say three services.
Yes.
All right, so that means he's going to be here at Fairburn, then he's going to go to South Campus. Then after that, we are going to have an evening service. So make sure that you set your dinner early so that we can all come here and receive even more, a third impartation from God on Sunday evening. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to do two things today. I'm going to preach the word, and I'm going to try. I know someone's already laughing. Abide by something called time. So I've put the hour and a half marker. Oh, no, they just told me to abide by time. They didn't tell me how much time. So I'm going to put the hour and a half marker. We should be just fine, right? Praise God. Now, we'll try not to do that to you today, but get your Bibles. Can you get your Bibles? Come on, let's get our Bibles, whether electronically or physical. Let's look in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, and we're going to jump into two different scriptures. 1 John, chapter 2. Verse 3 through 6, and then we're going to jump into Galatians, so put a bookmark there, Galatians 5, 13 through 14. So first we're going to read 1 John 2, verse 3 through 6. And if you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We read this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the church. Say amen. Now by this, we know that we know him, and we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We should jump to Galatians 5, verse 13 through 14, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Say free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor. Ask yourself. I want to speak to you this morning with a title, From the Inside Out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we thank you for allowing us and blessing us this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be here, Father, in your house of worship. There's no better place to be, Father. No better place to be in your house, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for blessing us this morning with your spirit. Thank you, Father, for embracing us, Lord God, with your anointing, Father, this morning. For you're pouring, Father, into us, Father, your spirit in this morning. I pray, Father, that the word, Father, given may be exactly what we need today. That word, Father, that shapes us. That word, Father, that molds us, Father, that makes us better, Lord God. Make us more like you. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, that I may decrease and you may increase. That you speak the word necessary today for our lives, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. From the inside out. The question I want to present to all of us today is a tough question. It's one that I know is hard for us to think about. But Jesus himself asked that same question to one of his disciples. And that is, what do people say and who do people say you are? Who do people say you are? If you would ask someone that question, what would they say? Would they say perhaps that you are a loving person, a caring, a kind person, a patient person, a gentle person, perhaps a selfless person? Or would they say that perhaps you are untrustworthy, dishonest, you have a mood swings, unapproachable? Will they say perhaps, let's wait till tomorrow and then see how the wind is blowing and then I'll tell you who he or she is? It's tough when you consider the answers. I would even bring this even further. Perhaps if you would ask a church member who sits close to you on Sundays, what would he or she say? Perhaps if you would ask your coworker, or your boss, your subordinates, what would they say? Perhaps if you would ask your deli person at the supermarket, what would they say? Or let's even take this even further. Perhaps if you would ask your spouse or your children, what would they say? It's a tough question when you think about it. From the inside out, our lives speak. The question is, what does it say? I had a situation 14, 15 years ago. I've been working for this company for about almost 15 years now. And as I began my career in flight safety, I encountered quite something I wasn't looking forward to encountering, and that was someone that made my life a work, living, you know what. It was tough. The fact was that he was my boss, and what he tried to do every single time was look for anything bad that I did. Never hearing ever an idea or a statement of, hey, Winston, you've done a good job. But he took every opportunity possible to identify the most minute thing that I did wrong. Most of you perhaps would say, well, that's corporate America. That's just being part of an organization and you having a boss. Yes and no. See, the thing was that it wasn't just picking out the things that I did wrong. To him, he was the perfect person. He was a good person. To him, he was the best person. He always was right. He was never wrong. He had it all together, and everybody else had it all wrong. The challenge that I have with it wasn't just simply that. Well, the fact was that what he always used to say was that he was a Christian. That was the challenge that I had. He used that term very loosely. Even took the opportunity at one convention, one of our largest conventions, and took the opportunity just in front of my colleagues to basically just embarrass me and thought it was okay. Believe me, the very next day I did go to the office and I went with my resignation letter. And I went there because that same day when he did all of this, if I can be frank and honest and transparent, because I'm not going to be another way, what I felt like doing, Jesus, I wanted to grab him by the neck, but I walked away. And even though the next day I went with my resignation letter, the Lord told me, slow down. This isn't about you. So I decided to, instead of quitting, because the Lord knows I needed a job, I needed to bring the bacon home. My wife was going to have a huge problem with the idea of, baby, I quit because he hurt my feelings. Let me hurt your feelings now, Winston. She's from Brooklyn, so she'll cut me. She doesn't need a knife. She just needs her words. So I took a week off instead of quitting. I came back after a week, and after I've settled my emotions and just prayed, let God really deal with that situation. You know, surprisingly, a year after, he decided that he wanted to send out a survey for all of his subordinates to fill out. And he asked us to fill it out anonymously. What was surprising of the results, and I'll share with you after how I got the results, as a whole different story. The results were surprising. They were eye-opening. He had 9 people that reported to him, and they all said the same thing. They hated working for him. The word was hate. In fact, they went as far to call him a hypocrite. And isn't that a tough word to hear when they say something like that about you? It was an eye-opener for him. The fact is that from that moment, he changed. We didn't hear from, thank God I didn't say his name. He was quiet. Year after year, quiet. His demeanor changed. And it was because the results that he heard were tough to hear and tough to bear. When you think about the word hypocrite, it says this is a sanctimonious person, a pretender, a deceiver, an imposter, or even it goes as far to call them a phony. The definition even comes as close to say that it's a creeping Jesus, or even says a Pharisee. It's tough to hear that. The fact is that what we say in the inside, in his case, was not what was said in the outside. The question is, what do people say about us? If we were to ask him that question, We will send a survey for people to fill out about what they think we are, who we are. God wants his people to become like Christ. For Christ's likeness is the will of God for all of his people. Therefore, we are to be more like Jesus. This means that we are to love like Christ, serve others like Christ, reach others like Christ, and impact others like Christ. See, the godly character definitely is a result of the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification. I get it. That's all of us. That's part of the character building process. It's a consistent manifestation of Jesus Christ in our lives, no doubt. And yes, we are all under construction. Yes, God is still working in all of our lives. But we must not forget that through our struggles, we become. We become. The question is, who do you become? Is it more like Christ? Or is it more like the world? It's from the inside out. In Christ, it isn't about who you could achieve or what you could achieve. It's about who you become. That's what it's all about. Think about it. An apple tree can only produce apples. An orange tree can only produce oranges. But you can't say you are an orange with an apple seed. See, for you to try to produce something that is not in the inside is simply hypocrisy. You know, if you think about the word is something that is even used in Hollywood. You know, a hypocrite is an actor. I don't think they'll like that word, depending on how you present it. But an actor is a hypocrite. It's a person that fakes his persona, but in reality, that's not who he is. What would they say? Who we are. Who do you think you are? From the inside out. We are called not just to follow him. We're just not called to just follow Christ. We're called to imitate him. To be like him. You think about the 12 disciples. Jesus called them. This is what he said in Matthew 4:19. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What Jesus was trying to do was impart into their lives, pour into them, make them more like him. Jesus wanted them to be just like them, like him. Jesus wanted to teach them. But the idea of knowing or learning is just not for the idea of knowing more. The purpose of that is for us to become better. To be better. See, I heard my pastor say this a while ago. He preached a message to the pastors of the region. And when he sends me usually I get the message, you know, every week before he preaches it, so I can translate it to Spanish. Shout out to the translator up there. Hey, Landry. When I read it, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Hit me hard. I felt that message that he preached was for me. So yeah, here I am at home trying to translate this message, but I am boohoo crying. He said something that was powerful. I mean, the whole message was powerful. But he said this, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. being a person that people can perceive that you know it all. What people are looking for is for people that care. See, as a follower of Christ, I should want to be known for how I love and the mercy that I give, and not for how holy I appear or how good I perceive to be. I should want to be a light that makes this world a little brighter, and not just an idea of being a star in the church. That isn't it. I should want people to follow Jesus and not me, because the fact is, he is the real deal and I'm not. He is authentic. I'm just trying to copy him. He is the potter and I am simply the clay. I should want to be a living sermon to a world that is desperate for a savior. Even if they don't even know it. But they do. They need a savior. As a follower of Christ, I should want to be more like Christ. And not a Christian. I know that's very tough to hear. Well, Winston, what do you mean? I mean, Christians are called the people that follow Christ, and therefore I should want to be like. Yeah, the problem with that is this, that they're not the blueprint. You're trying to copy something that's trying to be. You're not copying something that is. They're two different things. Who should we want to be every single time of our lives is Christ. And no doubt that is a process, that isn't something that's automatic, but the fact is, we should always want to be like him. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 through 6 says, "But whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." You see, the only way you can become like Christ is you have to follow very, very close to him. That means that following close has got to be the word of God that I use as my guide. It's got to be a relationship of my knees every single day in prayer, communicating with my God and my Savior so that I can get revelation of what I need to do today. See, you can't be like someone unless you know someone. You can talk about Jesus all day, but if you don't know him, how can you become more like him? I know this verse is very hard to take in, but God is calling us to just that. If we say we abide in him, then therefore, it's got to be something from the inside out that displays who we are. That means that within the inside, I have to have Jesus working in me. So that the product that we output is Jesus. Now, that's tough to do, no doubt about. It's hard, especially because we're all under construction. I laugh, my wife and I, when we think about moments, the times that we've reacted based on our emotions. We've reacted in a hateful manner. Yeah, we've done that. Yeah. We ain't holy roly over here. We ain't. And we ain't trying to appear that either. If we can teach you by our mistakes, we would love to teach you by our mistakes. Okay? But we've been there. We've laughed at those things, and we've realized that, man, we just reacted out of emotions and not out of the character of Christ. That's why you can't make decisions out of your emotions. Your emotions is just a feeling. It's something you feel at that moment, whether it's angry, upset, sad, whatever it is, happy. That's all great and dandy. But guess what? You can't use it as a vehicle to make decisions. Because that's where the battle is at. The battle is between what you want to do and what you must do. See, sometimes my wife may not like me. See, I appear like I'm a tough, bad husband all the time. I'm up here. She, I don't like her some days either. You know what? Just joke. I love my baby. We were in our small group a couple weeks ago. We had the couples and had a blessed time. We were asking the couples where they're at and how things have been and everything else, you know. And they started with the ideas. I forgot who was the first couple who started saying, "Well, you know, in our journey, in our troubles, it's really been 90% I think it was Wilson who said also. He's like, you know, Wilson said it was 80% him, I think 20% his wife or something like that. And somebody else said that it's 95% the husband with the challenges and bringing the issues into the marriage, and there's 5% the wife. And you know, when it came to me, I'm like, look. It's more like 60-40, you know. Every other husband is trying to like cover their wives, like, oh yeah, you know. But the fact is, we go through these things, you know. But we laugh about those decisions in the past, and yeah, we laugh about it now. But believe me, when it was that moment, it wasn't all laughter. Why? Because we didn't display Christ. From the inside out, we were not acting in a Christ-like manner. What if we will look at every circumstance and situation, every person, your wife, your children, your coworker, you know, not just your brother here at church, and you will look at them as you being a responsible, you know, Christian, a responsible follower of Christ, that you have a responsibility towards them to act like Jesus. Every single time. And probably you'll say it's tough to do. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. The challenge is a fleshful, just sinful nature of our flesh. Because that's what we battle. And no, you can't get rid of that. No. You can try all you want. You can scrape your skin, it ain't gonna happen. Okay? This is going to happen. We have to abide in him in order to fight it. It's got to be a daily submerging of ourselves, making sure we are more like him. This thing here says, I got 10 minutes. I don't believe it. Use a liar. I'm going to try to be obedient. Not to you, iPhone. Anyway, praise Jesus. I believe that from the inside out, there's got to be 5 key elements of what we should look like if we are to be more like Christ. And number one, I believe that from the inside out, we are to love like Jesus. Here is a verse that I believe sends a clear picture in Galatians 5:23. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Free. But not use the freedom to indulge in flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love. Look at this. This is what's interesting. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. The entire law. If you notice, the Ten Commandments is based on one particular thing. Love. Love your God. Love. See, that fulfills it all. Because there is no more perfect display of Christ than genuine, unconditional love. In this passage, here's Paul urging us, and particularly he was urging the Galatians to use their freedom. And it was from the law's requirement to fulfill the law's essence. That essence was to love their neighbor. And when he's talking about neighbor, it's not about him going to, you know, just and loving my, oh, I gotta love my right-hand neighbor, and I gotta love my left-side neighbor, and I gotta, just gotta love the neighbors on my street. I'm good. Nope. Yep, you gotta love that boss that you don't like. You gotta love that person that makes your life a living, you know what? You gotta love everyone. See, if love was something that we did just based on how people treat us, man, it would be easy. Very easy. Y'all coming up early, but that's fine. It's the second Galatians. Whatever. I'm going to let you know. It's to love your neighbor. It's to love them even if they try to shut me down. Ain't gonna work, man. Whatever Pastor Gilbert send y'all from over there saying, kids, he ain't over here. Tell him there, I said I am done. I am not done. Not done. Romans 12:9 says this, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Hate what is evil. Hate it. Cling to what is good. Hold it, grasp it really hard. That's got to be what we hold on to every single time. This verse shows us how to love. To love without hypocrisy means that it must not be fake. It must be genuine. It's got to be the love that is not conditioned, that is not based on a criteria. And guess what? The only love that I know for a fact that is not conditional is God's love. So guess what? I tell you this much, and it's hard to hear too, but unfortunately, you cannot give something you don't have. If you really believe that you can give love without having Jesus in the inside, you can't give that love. You ain't got it. And I bet you, and I'll prove it to you, let your spouse slap you one time. One time. If you're strong enough, you'll be like, you hit me one more time and look what's going to happen. Remember, you see those fights where he's like, what? Yeah, touch me one more time. Touch me one more time. I really touched you. Touch me one more time. Touch me one more time. I just touched you like 3-4 times already. You won't see that love there. That won't be that love. It's got to be the one that comes from him. You can only gain that through him. See, there it goes with the music. Oh, Jesus. Anybody has oil? Name of Jesus. Stop it! See, it's a loving not based on we have to. It's a love based on we get to. You've been free. Been set free. See, what's interesting is that when you look at law, there's moral law, there's civil law. And back in the Old Testament, there was sacrificial law. Thank God that the sacrificial law was done away by the sacrifice of the cross. That was a perfect sacrifice. But still today, the civil law still tries to be as close as possible to the moral law, but it looks so far away. So far. See, because in order for us to have moral law, to abide by it, we have to completely be in Him. There's no other way. You think about, if you go bowling, if you're a child who doesn't know how to bowl, more than likely they'll put something on the side. It's called bumpers. That's what civil law is to moral law. They put bumpers just so that you can be able to stay in the lane. But guess what? If you would abide in Him, get to be a better bowler, you can be like, and he'll go straight in. Never have to go to the sides, right? And that is what we're called to. Number two, from the inside out, we are to serve like Jesus. John 13 and says from verse 14, it says, If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And I'm going to tell you, there's always an opportunity to serve. You can serve your community at being a neighbor, being in tune with what the needs are in your neighborhood. You can serve. Serve your brother. Serve your sister. Put others first. And if you're the one that says, well, I've never been able to really see an opportunity, well, I can tell you this much. The Holy Spirit will always, always present you opportunities to serve others. If you tell them you haven't gotten that, is you ain't listening. But the Holy Spirit will always provide you that opportunity. Number three, from the inside out, we are to endure in patience and long-suffering like Jesus. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. Don't you do it. I got 10 more minutes. Or like we say in, old Baptist church, I'm ready to close five more times. See, we are to endure. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as someone count slackness, but in his long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to see the greatest example of God's long suffering and patience? Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. That perfect example is right here. God's still waiting on you to get it right. God's still waiting on me to get it right. But this is a perfect picture of God's patience and long suffering. He waits on us. We should all display the same patience for those next to us. Those that are journeying in the walk with Christ. They may stumble and fall. The question is, what do you do? Do you go on the sidelines and criticize them? Look at her. I saw that coming. If she would just would have listened. I told you. Or are you the person that instead of criticizing, you go to that person and lift that person up with encouragement? and say, guess what, my brother, my sister, you know what? You perhaps failed it this time, but that's okay. Thank God that God is the God of second and third and fifth and 10th and 20th chances. And guess what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to help you get it right. I'm going to help you journey along with you. Let me help you. Let me journey with you. We'll get it right the next time together. Number four, from the inside out, we are to reach like Jesus. Matthew's 20, verse 29 to 34 says, as they were leaving Jericho, a huge cloud followed. Suddenly they came upon two blind men sitting alongside the road. And when they heard it was Jesus passing, they cried out, Master, have mercy on us. Mercy, son of David. The crowd tried to hush them, but they got all louder, crying, Master, have mercy on us. Mercy, son of David. Jesus stopped and called over, what do you want from me? They said, Master, we want our eyes open. We want to see. Deeply moved. Oh man, I love it. I don't understand if you understand that statement. Jesus was deeply moved. That means he cared. He saw a need. He valued somebody else over himself. Jesus touched their eyes. They had sight back in that very instant, enjoying the procession. Jesus was always in tune with the needs of others. He was not above touching the broken. In fact, he looked for the broken. That's who he was looking for every single time. He looked for the broken. See, we must look for the good in people. Because I bet you if you want to just look for the bad, if you look for the bad, believe me, you'll find it. There isn't a single person here, not one, that if you look for the bad, that you ain't going to find it. Believe me, you're going to find it. We all got it. But that's why we got to look at the good of people. Can't find out what the needs of people are if you don't spend time to hear and feel what they feel. We must take time. I'm always moved every time I hang out and have lunch with some of these young people. And I'm going to tell you, you guys have church, you guys have amazing young people. The generation that you see before us growing into leading this church are an amazing group of young people. I'm blessed every time I've hung out with some of these guys and whether we're eating lunch or something and we're just doing something and they see someone in need, they automatically, it isn't the, I can't do this, but let me pray for you. No, it's, let me pray for you, brother. They go straight to the one answer. And not just that, they haven't eaten, they're the first ones to say, let me buy you something. Come have lunch with us. These are the young people. If this is our young people, how should we, the mature, should behave? Lastly, five, from the inside out, we are to lead others like Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 16:20 says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. Well, they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said. I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone to a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with a hired man and followed him. See, Jesus was the relationship builder. He led by building relationships. The way he did it, he didn't beat them upside the head. Didn't do it with the idea or the command of you must. That was an optional thing given and presented. Come. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. If you follow me. It's not a cookie cutter approach that he takes with people. He led by every individual, recognizing their challenges, their differences, according to their situation, their context. See, to know God's word uniquely applies to every heart. You got to know that. You got to know how to be able to apply God's word to every heart, every situation. So we got to know. We got to build a relationship with people in order to recognize them. This is how he led. This is true wisdom. We should all strive to grow in that knowledge. We should strive to be just like him. I'm going to go back to Galatians 5, 19, 26, and this is the closing. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 26. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Say obvious. Obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and discord and jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, say with me, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in the step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. You know, I question why all the seats of this church are not filled. Why isn't every seat in this church not filled? See, there's a world out there that has this idea about church. Some of it, I get it, they've been hurt. Some of it is because perhaps one of us are the reason. I'm sorry to ask this, but I'm going to be obedient to the Spirit. The question is whether are you the reason people want to come to church, or are you the reason why people don't want to come to church? I surely pray that when people see us, that what they really want is half what we have. Not because we try to portray that we are holy, because we are recognizing how we love. Because we recognize their challenges, their ups and downs, and guess what? We can apply the same mercy that God applies to us. Amen. That's what it should look like. See, everything that is broken can be repaired from above. God can do it. But we have a responsibility. We were called to preach the gospel. And perhaps you may think that, well, I don't know how to talk about Jesus. Well, you know what you can do? You can go touch someone. Go. Go church. Touch someone. How do you do that? Love them. Serve them. Be patient with them. Reach them. Lead them. That's what he called us to do. From the inside out, make an imprint in their lives. We should all have the desire and the goal to love like Jesus, to serve like Jesus, to be patient like Jesus, to reach like Jesus, to lead people like Jesus. I'll leave you with this question. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. Desperately need a Savior. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Love from the inside out. Reach someone. Makes a change. You change. Change from the inside out. God bless you. Perhaps you are here for the first time, and perhaps you've been here for a while and you visited us, but you still haven't given your life to Christ. Every eye's closed and every head's bowed. I want to give you an opportunity to meet my Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, my friend. The one I want to be just like. I'd love to introduce you to him today. If you're willing, he's here with open arms. You'll feel him with the hugs and loves of every brother and sister in this house.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, download our NCC app, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. Thank you and have a blessed week.